With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, Watch Forest Focus. It's the international break, and Nottingham Forest fans probably feel like they need a rest after the last few days. So something different today as we step away from the pitch to find out more about a familiar face in the Reds fan community. In PC, Simon Travell, the dedicated police officer for all Forest games. Simon, good to have you with us. Are you well?
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, very well. As you say, international break, so looking forward to the weekend off next weekend.
Yes, I was actually one of the questions I was going to ask was your wife must hate your job if you're married. So yeah,
she it does work. Yeah, she's very understanding in my role, so very supportive.
So before we get into the specifics of what you do, because I'm sure fans will be interested, just tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about the basics of your job before we branch out from there.
Yeah, so been in the police 22 years. Lucky enough to have got given this role after interviewing, obviously, 2017. So I've done it for a few seasons now. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's like being a neighbourhoods officer, but for a football club, home and away, get to police both sides of the game. So really enjoyable job. Envy of many officers around the force. But yeah, it's a really good job and I enjoy doing what I do.
Did you want to be a police officer growing up, or did you stumble into it?
So, growing up, I did want to be a police officer. We had a lodger that lived with us for a time who was in Derbyshire Police. Really enjoyed listening to stories of her policing, telling us what she'd done, hearing things that she'd been up to, and wanted to do it from an early age. When I was in the careers office at school, I was told I wasn't tall enough. And that was that, really. Ended up in the leisure industry. I was assistant manager at Retford Leisure Centre for a number of years. And then in 2000, I joined Derbyshire Police as a special to see if I could do the job, if it was what I wanted. I really enjoyed doing that for 2 years. Derbyshire didn't want me. So all things happen for a reason. I ended up joining Nottinghamshire Police in 2002.
Like the superior force, no doubt, like the superior football team, no doubt. I'm sure. Yeah. What about the basics of your job then? Because I suppose fans, well, they know you're the police football officer, but they probably don't know what that entails. I mean, what's just the basic kind of job description, I guess?
So my role is a dedicated football officer. That is a job title, believe it or not. It is a very good job. As I enjoy what I do. So I'm based within the football unit at Nottinghamshire Police, which is part of operational planning at our headquarters. As I said earlier, the job is effectively that of a neighbourhood officer, but in relation to policing matches that involve Nottingham Forest, whether that be at home or away. It's my job to forge links within the club and be the go-between between Nottinghamshire Police and Nottingham Forest Football Club, so that we've got an in-depth knowledge and relationship between the two help bridge across that so we can prepare better for football operations on a match day.
So how did you get into football policing? People often stumble into jobs through chance or kind of things like that. Was that, did someone say this is good for you, or did you seek it out?
Someone said it was good for me. Joined the police in 2002, as I say, so ended up working on a support unit from 2004-2005, which were based at Mansfield, which would involve working all the Mansfield Town Football Club matches. Although I didn't grow up as a football fan, I was mainly into rugby and swimming from an early age. So enjoyed the occasion of working the football, working public order events, and enjoyed public order policing. It's a chance to speak to people on a match day. Our job sometimes, you do end up going job to job on the radio and don't get a chance to form relationships with a community, which is Nottingham Forest. Did that with Mansfield Town fans. Worked as a spotter, as it was back then, for Notts Police in relation to Mansfield Town Football Club. So worked home and away with them. Enjoyed doing that. And in 2017 was pushed towards applying for the job of dedicated football officer for Nottingham Forest when it came up, which I did do. Gladly, I got the job and I've worked in that arena since. So fortunate enough to have that as a full-time role.
So what's a spotter then? Is that you're in the crowd, in amongst it? Are you in an office looking at CCTV? How does it work?
No. So a spotter is an old term. It used to be that they would literally spot people who would be known now as a risk nominal to the football-going fan, referred to as football hooligans, if you like. And it was our job to work in uniform to try and identify the risk element of the crowd, to try and engage with them from an early onset so that we had an idea of what their intentions might be, what their thoughts were, what their feelings were. Because you being a match-going fan, you know that years by, you'd have got off the train at Derby and you'd have all been herded as one up to the football ground. You'd have been pushed along if you were slow at walking. You'd have been all put together as a group and treated as such, which wasn't great for you, wasn't great for us. The resourcing just isn't there now. And why should it be, really, when you think you go to football matches, you behave yourself, you're not a problem to the football policing on the day, and you'll go home whether your team win, lose or draw. You might be disappointed at the result, but you won't be causing antisocial behaviour or any disorder as a result of you going to a football game. So why should you be pushed in with that group of people that sadly do go to engage in disorder and social behaviour and can't have a drink, watch the football and go home afterwards? So a spotter would pull those people out of the crowd, put them to one side along with the tactics that might be on the day. So we would eliminate the risk, if you like. That role changed to that of operational football officer. So you still do that bit of the football, but in order to do that bit, you will get to know the groups. You'll get to know fan groups such as the Fours of Garibaldi, which I'm glad we work with up to a match day and looking at what interventions we can put in ahead of the game. So a good example being Luton this last weekend. Spoke with Matt from Forza, who was able to advise me on fans' feelings around Bedfordshire Police and how they policed the match when we went there a couple of seasons ago in the Championship. There were improvements. Sadly, it wasn't on the day as good as could be. There were certain breakdowns in communications around policing, which we see week in, week out in some situations. But I'm glad to say that being able to work closely with fans, we're able to overcome those issues and police by consent, which we do in this country, but also be advised by fans of what works, what doesn't work, what fans understand, what they don't understand, and try and piece together the policing operation around the needs and expressions of thoughts from fans about what they think to the policing operation.
So this might not be in your remit, but I think when back from when you're saying about fan feelings, I remember we went to Brentford and there were a number of complaints from fans about the stewarding at Brentford. Is that something that you would pick up and liaise with Brentford or police in London? How would that work?
Obviously, we went there in the Championship, but when we went in the Premier League to the new ground, fans noticed a big difference in the attitude of stewards. There were fallouts between stewards and fans, and obviously, as you remember, when we went back last season, there were issues between fans and stewards. Ahead of the game, 4 weeks out, every away game, I will send a match report to the DFO, so the Dedicated Football Officer for Brentford, which is Paul Wright, who's part of the Met Police. Sent a match report to him. We discussed the way that the stewards approached Forest fans last season and made inroads into hoping that fans would get on a little better with stewards, that stewards would be a little bit more accommodating to them arriving at the turnstiles, which I must say they were this time. At the turnstiles, they were a little bit better. There was some breakdown in communications at times with regards to searching, etc. But we did have an input into that. We did have some arrests, which I can't comment on because they're ongoing investigations. But I have since fed back fans' thoughts and feelings around the police and stewarding on the day. And I've been in touch with the Football Supporters Association, the FSA, spoken to Vicky at the FSA in relation to what happened on the day. And should we stay up? Fingers crossed we do stay up. Should we go there next season, then I'll be looking at making further inroads with fan engagement, particularly from yourself, from Forza Garibaldi, from the club, to try and give a better insight into what happened on the last two occasions.
Just on spotting then, because I go to games and, you know, your mate's in a different stand and they'll ring you and they'll say, oh, I'm waving to you now. And it's like a needle in a haystack. So how are you spotting potential signs of trouble and, you know, people you need to speak to and monitor? What are you looking for?
So from experience, through having conversations with fans, through knowing fans and them knowing me through the Not Pole Football on X, as it is now, people very often come up to me and they will say, you know, there's a group over there that have been causing issues on the way up to the ground and been spoken to by the police. So they'll highlight other fans to me. I'll speak to those fans and have an idea of certain one or two amongst that group that I can engage with. And we can speak to them because fans, as they get off a train, they've got a level of anonymity, haven't they? And then when they're spoken to and I use the first name and speak to them, then they're able to see that Notts Police are there as part of the operation, whether it be down at the Met or up in Greater Manchester or Merseyside. And we can speak to the fans. We know what they're like. We've spoken to them before. And very often, using our relationship that we've built up over time, we can negotiate with them, if you like, and say, look, this is how the police force that you were then at the minute, the police service that are policing you today, this is how they expect you to behave. And then go back to the police that we're working with alongside them and speak to them and try and arrange for whether it be a walk up from the pub to the ground, or whether that be that trains are delayed, so it might be that the fans want to go to another pub after the game, then we can try and accommodate that, so we've got no surprises either from the police or from the fans, so that we can try and develop that relationship on a match day in particular.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So are you, obviously you're a police officer first and foremost, but are you kind of like the assistant manager who is the bridge between the players and the manager? Are you someone who tries to bring it all together and sort of represent the fans as well, but obviously, you know, you are a policeman first and foremost?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'm a police officer. I do enjoy speaking to fans. Very often I can speak to a fan, whether they're drunk or whether they've been ejected from the stands and they might not be happy, friends might not be happy, and very often I'm surrounded by friends that aren't happy, fans that are often drunk and annoyed that they've not been allowed into grounds, etc. But knowing that they know my links with the club, they know the links with Notts Police, with yourself, with Orza, with other fan groups and coach organisers, I'm able to try and negotiate and be a bit of a peacemaker between the two, so that I can tell my match commander on a match day where the threat and risk is in the city. But I can also feed back to fans and say, look, you might be held back for a short time after the game. Coaches have moved from drop-off point to pick-up point and try and guide them that way. And I think fans do see that I am genuine. I do have best interest of fans at heart. And I try to feed that back into the policing operation, because the match commander needs to understand the thoughts and feelings of the fans on the day and how they might react to certain tactics that are used from the police. I think if you remember years gone by when you say you get off a train at Derby, you might have horses there, you might have dogs around you. And fans didn't like that, rightly so, being treated in that way. And as I say, resourcing as it is now, we can't keep going with that mentality, really, or that approach. And match commanders will often look to us as spotters on the day, or operational football officers as we are now, to speak to fans and advise match commanders around how the operation is progressing from phase one, that we will call it, that's before the game, phase two during the game, and phase three afterwards. So each phase we're feeding into the match commander of what it's like on the ground, what people are feeling, fans' reaction to certain things happening on the game, and how that's going to look feeding into the next phase of the operation.
You mentioned drink a few times there, fans being drunk. You read reports now more and more of drugs being a problem at games. Is that a bit of a misconception, or do you see that?
I do see it, that there's two sides of it. There's the fan that wants to go and have a drink, and why wouldn't you not want to have a drink and go and watch your team on a Saturday, on the road that it is on a Saturday now with the Premier League. But why would you not want to work all week, enjoy yourself the weekend with your friends and have a drink, have a good time, go to the game? I get that side totally. When it comes to taking Class A drugs, cocaine is the big one for us at the minute. It's become more socially acceptable to some parties to be taking cocaine ahead of the match day. You do notice changes in personality. I can speak to someone on a early part of a day when they're in a pub, in the first pub, or they've just got off the train, and I notice a change in their behaviour or attitude later on in the day, and it's clear at that point that I know they've taken cocaine. We do cocaine swabs in the toilets around the ground, the pubs in the vicinity of the ground, and they come back as positives in certain cases. And we do work with licensing on that. We advise designated premise supervisors or managers of the pub of what we've found, and try and work with them and the door staff on searching, etc., to try and prevent it. Because although it is seen as a party drug and makes some people more sociable, it does have an element of, you know, the friendly drunk, you know, the violent drunk, and that's the same with taking drugs as well. It can make you an extreme version of yourself. So if you want to fight before the game, you'll definitely want to fight after you've taken cocaine, etc. And you can see a shift in people's personalities as a result of taking Class A drugs.
I'll come back to match days because there's more I want to ask. It's interesting. But what's a working week look like for you in the build up then? I mean, you were telling me today what you've been up to, but can you kind of elaborate on that?
So it does depend whether Forest are at home or they're away, or whether we've got a international break coming up. And if there's an international break, does it mean that England are playing and I might be part of that spotting team, if you like, or the operational football team that are allocated to that match? So I sometimes do the England games. If Forest are at home to start with, it's building up to the match. So usually I'm off Sunday, Monday. So I'll come back into the office on a Tuesday. If we've had a match at the weekend, which we usually will have, I'll review what's happened in the match, liaise with Graham Murray, who's the head of safety and security at Nottingham Forest, liaise with him about any complaints or ejections that he's received over the weekend, and try and address those early on, sort of debrief what happened at the weekend, try and put things in place for what we need to change for the week going forward, especially if we've had back-to-back home games. I'll have a final planning meeting on a Wednesday usually, which is involving the match commander, the dedicated football officer from the visiting team. So, for example, when Manchester United came to us, PC Ollie Vale, who's the Man United DFO, he came online with a Teams meeting before the match. So ahead of that, we'll have a final planning meeting, iron out any issues that we've had, highlight any areas for attention that we need, and progress the plan for the match day. That takes me forward to sending out assessments for the next away game in 4 weeks' time, or updating the interim assessment for the game that might be in 2 weeks' time, or sending out a final assessment if it's an away match coming up at the weekend. So reports coming in and going out that we're sharing that information there. So as I said previously, the final planning meetings will be taking into account an insight from fans that are going to be coming to the ground, taking into account thoughts and opinions, if you like, from fans at home of how things have progressed, any changes that were made to the policing at the previous game that we can take forward for this one. So good practice, learning from issues that have arisen before. Liaising with the club as to how many stewards they'll have on duty, any areas of concern that they might have. Very often ahead of the game, I'll visit the ground. Obviously, we're at the ground week in, week out, but match commanders change. So the match commander will often want to visit the ground and have a look at where the away fans will be sighted, the turnstile set up for that, and where we're going to be putting the police in, where we're going to be putting the staff inside the stadium around the ground, and any issues that we can support the club with. That's for a home game. If it's an away match, again on the Tuesday morning, we'll review what's happened at the weekend before. I'll prepare a final assessment on the Wednesday to send out ahead of, say, going to Spurs on the Saturday, or is it on the Monday night now? So I'll look at the final assessments coming in and going out. I'll liaise with the operational football officer that I'm taking with me for the away game. So it might be me and one other member of staff. These are PCs that are drawn from across the force that have that additional skill alongside their normal day job. So it may be that they work on neighbourhood policing or response policing on a normal week-to-week basis, but they'll join me on a match day, either at home or away, to support me in policing operation either at home or away. Usually I take another PC with me. Sometimes it's two PCs with me, so there'll be three of us going to a game if the host force has requested that from us. We'll make plans to travel down to that game, and we'll discuss any information or intelligence that's coming in about that fixture and best make the plans ahead of that weekend.
Just before we get to the next question, just bear with me one sec. We'll just take a word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. Oh, you probably know the Trent Navigation as one of the prominent, or the most prominent, Forest pub. I'll plug the Oasis and gig again, just for people who haven't seen it. So for Saturday, April the 13th, 5:30 p.m., straight after Forest v Wolves at the City Ground. Entry's free, so you don't have to pay for a ticket, which is great. Barbecue and the food court, inside and outdoor. Bars, obviously, so it'll be a great evening, especially if we win, as we certainly need to, having done those points tallies yesterday. I think it's going to be pretty close. So, Back to on match days, are you based? You're in with the fans, are you? Then you're not in a control center or anything like that during the match.
It does depend. I'm in and out of the control room where I am today. So home games mean I usually start at our headquarters and then travel down to the ground and meet with operational football officers from across the force. Usually I have three more working alongside me on a match day, so there's four from Nottinghamshire, and we'll host two or three from the visiting force. So we'll meet them down at the ground and have a briefing, which is particularly poignant to the football officers that will be going out and speaking to fans. So I'll look at social media posts that have been made over the week. I'll listen to podcasts, get the thoughts of fans of what they think about the game, and try and feed that into the briefing, because these officers will go into the pubs and then speak to fans about what it means for them, the game ahead, how important it is, what happened last time, where the issues arose last time, particular things that might be going off. It might be that, say, we've got the boat trip down the River Trent on that day, or we've got a live band at one of the venues, Trent Navigations, you've just mentioned. They're very good for us in that a lot of the fans will go to that one area with the big screen and watch the earlier game. So we'll highlight the earlier kickoff if it's going to be attractive for our fans. So especially if we've got a 3 o'clock kickoff here, or with a half five kickoff for Sky. So just make sure that everyone's aware of how fans will approach the day, the build up to the kickoff. So that's phase one deployments for us. And that's going around the pubs and speaking to fans, and any information that I need to glean around that. And that might be people's intentions for going for the big game, which we're looking for. So the Sheffield United away trip, even the home games, we'll look to discuss what people's plans are and what people's feelings are around that game and the build up to that. And iron out any issues that arise from that and build that into the planning phase for Sheffield United, for South Yorkshire Police, which I sent the initial assessment this morning on. So that's the home game. That's phase one. During phase two, which for us is the game, so 3 o'clock kickoff, I'll pop back into the control room and debrief with the bronze commander, that's the stadium commander, around what we've experienced in phase one. Anything that's been mentioned to us, it may be that we've had 10 visiting coaches, we've found two or three minibuses that might park at Hooters, so we expect away fans to go back that way, make preparations for that with the police into phase three, which is after the game. Then we'll let the game progress and react to anything inside the ground. The club, it's their event. They will deal with ejections, low-level antisocial behaviour, any breaches of ground regulations. We'll deal with issues that might lead to arrest or might need to be investigated further. We'll support the club on that. And we have a really good relationship with Nottingham Forest, as I mentioned. So the security team here work alongside us. We support them where we can, where we need to. So responding to things in phase two, which is the game. Obviously, as the game starts to draw to an end, used to be 85th minute, we might deploy our resourcing outside the ground for fans leaving. Now with the Premier League adding the time on 9 minutes, for example, the Liverpool game, everything was running really smoothly. Fantastic day for everyone. Phase one, phase two, right up to the last 10 seconds of the game with the goal, the controversial goal, I might add, and everything that fell out from there. So obviously we had things happening inside the stadium that we had to respond to. We had to have officers outside as well. But again, it's a community policing event. We are policing. The vast majority of people will want to come to a football match, enjoy the day, no matter what the result, and go home, whether they're disappointed or elated. They might stay a little bit more in the ground and around the ground, etc., might visit the fan zone afterwards. But we're policing a very, very small minority that do actually seek disorder and will cause problems. So it's all building up through phase one, phase two, into what phase three after the game looks like. And as we saw against Liverpool, that can often be result dependent.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's the threshold or process for ejecting a fan? Because I guess sometimes it's the best thing to do, but sometimes can it make the situation worse as well? Is it a difficult fine line that you have to negotiate case by case, or is there something set that you say, right, that person's got to go?
Yeah, so the decision to eject is ultimately that of the club. It's their venue, such as if you're in a nightclub. I very often say to fans, if you're in a nightclub behaving like this and the door staff wanted you out, you would just be thrown out of the nightclub. You're ejected from the ground. Thankfully, it's a measured approach at Forest. Very often, fans will have had a warning or several warnings leading up to the ejection, because they appreciate ejecting someone in the middle of a stand isn't an easy thing to do, especially if they're not willing to come out. So it is a last resort. Cameras will be on them before that, and we'll be monitoring their behaviour, monitoring the steward going in and giving the warning about their behaviour, or backed up by police officers going in and giving that warning as well. If they are, then the decision is made that they are going to be ejected. That will come through discussions with the head of safety and security, who's the ground safety officer on the day. That's Graham Murray. He will liaise with our inside stadium commander, who will make a decision together and allocate policing resources to back stewards up if needs be. Thankfully, as demonstrated when we're away at Man City, we are very often able to just wave at a person who's misbehaving, ask them to come to one side and discuss it with them. You asked in emails about the differences between Championship policing and Premier League policing. One of the biggest for me is that people don't want to lose the ticket. They don't want to lose their away membership. They don't want to lose that season card that's so valuable to them. And they will very often work with us. They'll come out. They know they've done wrong, because they know why the cameras are on them, why the stewards are looking at them, while the police have just arrived on the stairwell. And it's very satisfactory outcome when I can just say to someone, please come out to the concourse and speak to us. If that then leads to an ejection, that's a club decision. Sometimes that means that that person has to miss a few matches whilst the investigation takes place into what they've done. It means that they come back into the club and speak to myself and Graham around antisocial behaviour, and very often we'll sign an acceptable behaviour contract, which will allow them to come back to the ground, and they'll sign to say, look, I understand that I've been warned about my behaviour on this occasion. I understand the ground regulations as they stand, and I understand that going forward, I'm on a warning for this. Because ultimately, we don't want to criminalise people. Believe it or not, the police aren't here to send as many people through the courts as we can. That's not the right way to deal with people. Where we can, we'll deal with out of court disposals, such as education workshops, which we did with Kick It Out after some of the homophobic incidents at the Brighton home game. We were able to deal with people according to the victims' wishes, which were that they're educated about their behaviour and why it's unacceptable for what they've done, rather than go to court, be banned from football. Football banning order is 3 to 5 years in most cases. And that's a big impact on someone's life that works in the week and just likes to watch football with friends at the weekend.
I think you've said your job, it sounds like it comes down to relationships, whether it be with fans or be with Forest and their safety officer, and also communication. I mean, is that something that, you know, are you taught that as a police officer? Yeah. It's something you think you just have to have? How's that all work? And is that the primary skill that you need, do you think?
It is, yeah. Our training comes down to our defensive tactics, and our, as everyone knows, when you see us in the police uniform, we'll have a baton, we'll have handcuffs, we'll have parva spray, etc. But the one thing in every police officer's arsenal is being able to talk to people, and it's drilled into you from an early stage in your career and in your training that you need to talk to people first. And thankfully, most people who are match-going fans will understand once it's explained to them, and they'll sort of comply with your actions, or they'll look to negotiate a way out of things. So it is very rare, and I can say this, very rare that we will have to resort to any other tactics other than speaking to people. If you're in the stands and you end up speaking to a police officer, it's very rare that you'll need any more than a word or a warning maybe an ejection from the club. But other than that, the people that are arrested, they've had several warnings. And I think it's a skill that they look for when we recruit into the operational football officers world, the football unit. Can you speak to people? Can you understand people? Can you understand how they're feeling about a certain game? Can you understand why they're acting how they are? Because they love Forest. They've just seen the team lose. They're really annoyed. They're not annoyed at you. They're annoyed at the club. They're annoyed at the players. They're annoyed at the Premier League. They're annoyed at everyone. But it's all coming out at the police officers that are in front of them. And very often, it's a skill to actually just listen to people, just remain quiet for a short time, let them vent, and then tell them what they need to be doing to either avoid arrest, avoid ejection, or enjoy the rest of the day. And sometimes that is taking them to one side and just walking them away from the ground.
How's the job evolved over the years then? Because a friend of mine's dad was a police officer in the 70s and 80s at football matches, and it sounded like it was an exercise in cracking skulls, frankly. But it's obviously not that now. But how's your job evolved over the years?
Yes, it has, thankfully. Police in football has evolved over the years, and you look at the legislation that's been introduced. So the Sporting Events Control of Alcohol, etc. Act, which is 1985. If you look at things that happened in 1985, there's other legislation that came in the Offences Act of 1991. You look at around what happened in 1989, going forward, you can see events that have taken place around the country, and the legislation that's been introduced in relation to that. It does mean that events are safer. For example, there's after Hillsborough, they introduced all-seated stadiums, which made it a lot easier to police in terms of crowd numbers. Obviously, the capacities went down in the clubs. It was easier to police. Moving forward, we're now looking at railed seating, because as we've said about persistent standing in recent times with Forest, the safer standing, railed seating, it is a new thing that's coming in more and more clubs. And it does allow fans that want to stand throughout the game to stand safely, so it prevents that progressive crowd collapse. So whether that's a physical structure that's made policing or football safer, or whether it's the vast majority of fans that come to the games now realising that it is more of a family event and responding accordingly, I don't know. It's a number of things, from the game changing itself to policing in general changing, becoming more engaging with people where we can. We can all remember times where, like we said already, where fans are herded as one group to the ground. That doesn't really happen anymore unless it really, really needs to happen. And very often discussions will take place with ourselves, with contacts to fan groups to see whether that needs to happen and make that assessment. So tactics have changed, the society has changed, legislation changed the way that we police things. So it's a culmination of a multiple range of things that's happened. But I would say that football policing in this day and age is a lot more about engagement than it was about enforcement in previous times.
One other thing I was going to ask you about, you sent me a few notes kindly, was about Russia 2018, which, yeah. I remember the build-up to that, seeing reports on the news of, you know, effectively paramilitary groups in Russia getting ready to cause all kinds of hell. You worked on that World Cups in some degree. What was that like? Because that does sound like a throwback potentially to darker times that we saw in this country football-wise.
Yeah, so going into Russia, obviously certain things happened politically, which meant that relationships between the UK and Russia were affected. So the UK did deploy police officers, spotters, operational police officers, as you like, out to Russia to work alongside the Russian police. Thankfully, the fans that went were relatively well behaved. Obviously, policing out there is a lot less engaging, should we say, than policing in the UK. And when England were drawn, obviously, made it to the World Cup, it was early planning that helped with the policing operation around there. So the Russian police were advised about England fans, how they'll react, obviously you see the plastic chairs being thrown on the TV and the reputation of England and the England hooligans, etc. The press will like to make out that that's what every England fan is like, and it's our job to go over there and just highlight the fact that the vast majority of people coming to this event will be well behaved, will comply with police instruction, and will go on to enjoy the day and go home, go back to their hotels without issue. And it's to try and almost interpret what we will do as a fan group, as a fan base, what England would do out there and how they'll react to certain police tactics, to try and have that early engagement. We did work 24/7 with night shifts as well, obviously the time differences and things, and reacting to certain people when they did get arrested and looking for them coming back to the UK so that we could intervene back in the UK in relation to football banning orders, etc. But thankfully, England fans were relatively well behaved. We didn't see the issues that we'd seen in previous tournaments, and we came out of that with a good reputation around both policing and as a fan base as well, England fans.
Excellent. Right, I think we shall leave it there. If everyone has found this interesting, and I'm sure you have, do us a favour, hit like, hit subscribe, you can become a channel member and give us a good review on iTunes, as I always say. I suppose if people see you at the game, do you want to come up and say hello or and have a chat?
Yeah, it is commented on by when we go away, the policing operation there, the DFOs, for example, at Luton, the OFO that I was working with, couldn't believe how many fans knew me and how many I knew. Obviously, I don't know everyone by name, but I recognise faces in the crowd. I like to speak to people. It does help the day, especially when they see, so I say they, the police that are hosting us that day, see how engaging we are with fans. It gives them that element of trust and confidence that we really do know the fan base, and gives sort of validation to what we're saying when we're saying this group are not a problem at all. And each person that's come out of the pub has either shook my hand or said hello, and even had selfies and things like that. I don't know why, but people have said it's you off Twitter as it is. But yeah, it is good. It is a good atmosphere on away games, especially when people do come up and talk to us, and it's something that I'd encourage that as well.
Excellent. Right. Thanks very much, Simon. And hopefully everyone enjoyed this. We'll be back possibly Saturday, but probably not, but certainly on Monday with Lewis and a few of the regulars, and we'll look ahead, turn our attention to Palace at home and that run-in. But Simon, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Have a good day, everyone, and we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.